We're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how God wants the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in our church and at work in our life. He wants us to live supernaturally empowered lives in Jesus' name, right? Do y'all believe that? Man, I believe that. And I just have faith that God's taken us there. And so we've got to have those in our life. We've got to have those at work to go to the other side. That's what Pastor Crystal's been ministering. The last few times she ministered on Wednesday night is going to the other side. Remembering that word that was spoke at the beginning of the year. How many of you still standing on that word? How many of you still believe in that word? We're going to the other side. As a church and individually, we're going to the other side. Amen? God's given us some great words to stand on for the year. And I don't know about you, but I'm not letting go of them. I'm not letting go of them. We're going to get to the other side in Jesus' name. And so anyway, so we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And just to recap, because it's kind of spaced out, but we talked about, first off, just giving you a quick recap. I'm trying not to take too much time doing this, but we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the difference that the Holy Spirit makes in our lives. How when we receive the Holy Spirit, we're endued with power, clothed in power. Not something that we can be separated from, but we are clothed in power. It's part of us. And we talked about, too, and the difference the believer, the Holy Spirit makes in our lives, that we are, so we're endued with power, and that He becomes that inside of us that shines forth. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to shine forth and make a difference, and it's Him that the people see in us. Amen? When the power of the Holy Spirit is evident and working in your life, you're a testimony to others. You're a light to others. The difference the Holy Spirit makes in our life, He gives us boldness to be His witnesses. He brings unity. Where there's a move of the Spirit and where the Holy Spirit is working, there's unity in the body. Breaks down barriers. And so the Holy Spirit gives us a new prayer language and enables us to pray the perfect will of God. And then we talked about that the Holy Spirit, the power inside of us, gives us everything we need to see the miracles of God come to pass in our life. Not only in us, but through us. It says we'll lay hands on the sick. We'll see, cast out demons. We'll see the dead raised. All these things the Bible says that we'll do with the power of the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do to receive that power is simply ask. So we're kind of caught up to right there. And so tonight we're going to start talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and reasons why they're not as evident in our church like we need to do. Now, I praise God that we're a Spirit-filled church and we see miracles. We've seen testimonies. We've got miracles and testimonies and things that go on here. But I think we all know that the miracles and the supernatural events of God are not as common as they ought to be in the church today. And I praise God that we've got pastors that realize that. And so one of the focuses from this year, and it goes right in line with the words that God's spoken over us over this year, is that we want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifested in our midst, in our church, and in your lives. And so we're going to talk about things that come, that hinder a move of the Holy Spirit, that hinder those gifts from flowing. But we're not just going to talk about the things that hinder. We're going to flip it and talk about what we can do to make sure that they're flowing in us. So how many of you guys have faith and believe and have a vision to see the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in your life? Are y'all there? Are y'all there? Well, I do. Man, I just believe that God's doing that. And we're in a season where He's wanting to break that wide open. So tonight we're going to talk about things that hinder the flow and what we can do to get those out. So are you ready? We're probably not going to cover all eight of them, but we're going to get through what we can. The first one I want to talk to you about, and I mentioned one last week, but we'll get to that in more depth next week. The first one I'm talking about is that keeps the gifts of the Spirit from flowing, that hinders them in the church today, is that we become satisfied without them. We become satisfied without them. Now, there's a difference between being content with what you have and where you are in Christ and being satisfied with what you have and where you are in Christ. Being content says, I'll be thankful for what I have, but I'll continue to pursue more. Being content says, God, I'm grateful for what you've given me. I'm grateful for the things you've given me, but God, I want more. God, I want to keep going. I know this isn't my stopping place. I know you've got more for me. Being content, but desiring more. That's one thing. Being satisfied says, I've arrived. I'm full. I'm good with what I've got. Anybody hear me say, oh, I'm good. That's all I want. I'm good. That's all I can take. No need to go any further. I'm happy with what I have. I'm full. And being satisfied, and what we're talking about tonight is being full and not having appetite or yearning or desiring more. How many of y'all know that's not a good place to be when you're talking about the things of God? It's like the full, the satisfaction I'm talking about is full, like that feeling you get from the Chinese buffet. Am I the only one that goes there and every time I leave there I say, we're not coming back here, I'm miserable. We know on Sundays, if we're staying here and we're going to do some work or something here, we know not to go to the Chinese buffet. Because last time we did that, Nicole got a little aggravated at me because, man, we were going to go eat and come back and we were going to do some work on the rooms, the kids' rooms and some other stuff. And we came back and I laid down on the padding in the playground and I just stayed there. Man, I was satisfied. I was completely satisfied. I was full. And I don't know if it's the volume of intake or if that stuff just expands once it gets in you. That's my theory. It's just, hey, I don't eat much. It just expands when it gets in there. And you all know the devil is a lie, right? So, no, but that's the feeling when I talk about being satisfied. We're satisfied without him is that a lot of Christians are satisfied with what they have. And there's no appetite, no desire to move forward. There's no desire to move deeper. There's no desire to continue on and get closer to God and see the power of the Holy Spirit working deep in our lives. And nobody, I don't think any good Christian, I don't think that's what they consciously say. I don't want more of God. But the fact is that there's a lot of Christians today that are satisfied with what they have. They're saved. They go to church every Sunday. They go to work during the week. They come on Wednesday. Maybe even Sunday night they come. Or I say maybe even Wednesday night. That seems to be the lower crowd. But and they're satisfied with just being saved. And one day they'll die and they'll go to heaven. Praise God. But God's got something better in store for us than that. God doesn't want us to live lives that we just trudge through day by day and deal with issues over and over again and don't experience the full joy and the full benefit of being born again believers, heirs with Jesus Christ, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 27:7, if you want to go there, Joe, if you want to keep up with me, I'm a New King James Version. Proverbs 27:7 says, a satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb. That's a mouthful when you try to say it out loud. The satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Another version of that says, a person who is full refuses honey, but even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. If you become satisfied with what you have, see, no matter how good, I don't know what that is, but yes, Lord. Y'all hear the wind of the Spirit blowing? Already, man, woo, hallelujah. Let's just have a prayer line right here. Where was I? Okay, yeah, so if you're full of something, if you're full, you're satisfied. Just like after I eat at the Chinese buffet, it doesn't matter. When I walk out of there, it doesn't matter what you put in front of me, how good it is, how appetizing it normally would be. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't want it. I don't want it. And that's right. That's the mentality and the attitude that the enemy wants us to be in when it comes to the things of God. That we're satisfied with what we have and we don't see the need or we don't have the desire for the good things of God. That he's prepared for us. He wants us to be full. He wants us to have no room for anything more. But many Christians, they're satisfied with what they have. But there's a better way. There's a better way. Amen. Everybody say, there's a better way. There's a better way. We have to refuse to be satisfied. You know what? We have to stay hungry for more of God's presence, for more of fellowship with Him, for more of hearing God's voice, for more of the revelation of His Word, for more opportunities to be used, more chances to tell people about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? We need more. We need to be hungry for more of everything Jesus. Right? Man, just everything Jesus. If it has something to do with God and God's Spirit, we need to be hungry for it. And I know, I hear you. I hear you, Chris. What's that? Yeah. Jason, you sound a little radical now, huh? Is that what you're saying? So yeah. Yeah. But you know what? We all need to sound a little more radical, don't you think? Don't you think we all need to sound radical? When was Jesus ever not radical about the things of God? When was Jesus ever not radical? When did our chief example, Jesus, the Son of God, the one that showed us the character and the nature of the Father, when did he ever seem satisfied? When did he ever seem like he said, I've got all I want? You know, if Jesus had been that way, you and I wouldn't be here today. If Jesus had said, you know what? We don't need to go all the way. Let's just start with what we have. We've worked miracles. We've done this. We've delivered. We've cast out demons. We've raised the dead. Let's just, you know what? I'm satisfied. No need to bear the cross. If he had been that way, you and I would be lost, dying and going to hell. But praise God, he showed us a lifestyle, a better way. He showed us an example of always being hungry. He showed us an example of never being satisfied, but always passionately pursuing God's perfect and complete will, even when it meant laying down his own. Even when it meant saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. God, help us to be a people that will pursue God's will and never be satisfied with less than what God has in store for us. Amen? Stay hungry. Everybody say, stay hungry. You see, the pattern and the lifestyle that Jesus lived was a pattern that he fully intended for us to follow every day of our life. How many of you guys want to follow that pattern? Proverbs 27:7, we've already read it. The last part of that says, even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. I tell you what, when you're hungry, you'll find the good in just about anything. It's like finding, you know, you hear about people going, I've never been. We've got the diamond mine in Arkansas. Have you ever been? You know, have you ever been? Have anybody ever been there? Did anybody ever find a diamond there? But you know what? From what I understand, it's just a big field of dirt, right? It's a bit of a big field of dirt. And I never have desired or needed to find a diamond enough to go dig around in the dirt all day. Now, one day I do want to go, and I'm just praying the Lord will just show me one right there, and I can just walk up, pick it up, and we can go home. But anyway, that's probably not going to happen. But if you're hungry, you'll look. If you're hungry, you'll search. If you're hungry, you'll dig. And those that are hungry, God, you've got a good opportunity of finding treasure. Amen? Finding treasure. But if you're not hungry and you're not willing and you don't have the need, you don't see the need, you're not going to dig and you won't find treasure. I tell you, I used to have, there used to be a preacher that used to come to Victory, and I just could not stand when he came to preach. He was always, he talked slow and he went real long, you know? He talked slow and it was like way past bedtime when he would finish. And I just didn't like him. And then until the Lord matured me a little bit. But there came a point in my life where I became hungry for the things of God. And you know, after God dealt with me and I became hungry, that guy became my favorite minister. He was my favorite minister. He's passed away now, but he used to be my favorite minister because every time he came, now here's the difference. He'd been coming for years and I wouldn't get anything out of it, but I wasn't hungry. But boy, when I came to a place in my life where I was hungry for God, I couldn't wait for him to come because every time he came, God spoke such rich, things to in my life. God spoke words through him that brought life and freedom inside of me. And I tell you what, God wants to do that in our lives. Every opportunity we have, every opportunity that's presented, every door that's open, if we're hungry, God will feed us. If we're hungry, God will sustain us. If we're hungry, God will provide nourishment and food for our spirit. If we're hungry, the only way that we can have a thriving, lively spirit full of the life of God is that we're hungry. Everybody say, stay hungry.
Stay hungry.
Luke 1:53 says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty handed. He has filled the hungry with good things. Amen. In that other verse we read, even the bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. When you're hungry, it's just kind of, it sounds kind of weird, but when you're hungry, that's when you get satisfied. Not in the sense of the bad satisfied, but when you're hungry, God fills you. And he doesn't fill you to be full, but he fills you to overflow you. Amen? That's the only full we should desire is the fullness that God feeds you as you're hungry. God feeds you. He fills you. You overflow and you affect people around you. And the Holy Spirit begins to not only work in you, but work through you. Amen? That's the goal. That's the goal, is that we allow God's Spirit to be so abundant in us that we begin to affect people around us. It's not so that we can be super Christians. It's so that we can fulfill the call of God and the call of the church. And that is to reach the lost. And that is to see people delivered and healed and set free and come into the kingdom of God. Stay hungry. Say it again with me. Stay hungry. Another version of that, Luke 1:53 says, the hungry who know to value God's blessings are filled with good things. When you're hungry for God, you see the need, you see the value of those nuggets, those treasures that God can put in your life. Amen? Maybe the person leading praise and worship isn't singing the song like you like, but if you're hungry, you'll enter in. Maybe the preacher's not your style of preacher. And I love saying this when I'm the one preaching. But if you're hungry, you'll like me. No. If you're hungry, you can find treasure in lots of things that you'll never find treasure in when you're not hungry. Amen? Now you all have to say amen. And be really into the service. Or you'll be like, oh, if I don't respond, he's gonna think I'm not hungry. I should have started off with this one. Anyway, but when you're hungry, you'll value the blessings that God has in store for you. And not only you'll value them, but God will begin to open your eyes to see. God will begin to open your eyes to see. And man, life just gets so much more fulfilling and so much more joyful when you begin to hunger after him and see and want the things that God has for you. Because Matthew 5:6, let's just go and read this one to you. It says, because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled to overflow, remind you, not to be satisfied. Continually hunger for God and you'll continually be fed. The Old Testament and the New Testament declare, and several times in the Bible it says, if you seek him, you will find him. 100% of the time, completely successful. If you seek him, you'll find him. But the enemy wants us to feel satisfied. He doesn't want us to hunger for God because he knows that if you're hungry, then you're on your way to walking in the fullness that God has for you. He knows that if you're hungry, that there's nothing he can do to stop you because you're gonna take steps, take leaps, and God's gonna take you to the other side. And the enemy doesn't want that. He wants you to be satisfied with where you are, full with no room for God. He wants to tell you that, well, you're doing everything you can. How many times have you heard people say, well, I would do this, but I just don't have time. The enemy wants you to make you feel like you're full up. You don't have anything else you can give to God. You don't have any more room for God to do anything else or to do anything else for him. But God says, look, I've got a wide open space. I've got a wide open harvest. I've got a wide open plan. My plans for you and what I can do through you are limitless. Amen? But we got to be hungry for it. We've got to decide that I will not be satisfied with a life or with a church. Anytime you talk about the church, you got to talk about your life, because we are the church, that's void of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's just say it together. I will not be satisfied. Amen. And the next thing I want to talk to you about tonight that hinders the move and the flow of the Holy Spirit is that complacency is substituted for sacrifice. We've substituted complacency for sacrifice. Proverbs 1:32. I'll give you a second to go there. Proverbs 1:32 says, "For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." Anybody want to be a fool? Complacency will destroy them. Zephaniah 1:12 says, "And it shall come to pass that the time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, 'The Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil.'" Complacency is defined as a feeling of quiet pleasure or security, often unaware of some potential danger, defect, or the like. It's a self-satisfaction with an existing situation or condition. It's a false sense of security that everything is okay when it's not. Complacency. The enemy wants us to be happy with just staying put, with not moving. No need or no motivation to move or prepare for opposition or for opportunity. 2 Timothy 4:2, let's go there. It says, "Be ready in season and out of season." Be ready. It says, "Preach the gospel." Be ready in season and out of season. God hasn't called us to be complacent. God hasn't called us to be idle. God's called us to be ready to move. God's called us to be active in our Christian walk. Mark, how many of y'all were here Sunday night? Y'all here Sunday night? Mark really said this in a good way. He talked about the living water is moving water. Man, that was just an awesome example of what I felt like already the Lord was wanting to speak here tonight, is that the enemy wants us to get complacent. He don't want us moving, but if we're going to be alive, we've got to be moving. If we're going to be doing anything for God, if God's going to be working in our life, if we're going to keep from dying spiritually, we have to be moving. We have to be ready to move. We can't be complacent. Smith Wigglesworth said, "You need to live ready. If you have to stop to get ready when an opportunity comes, and by the time you're ready, the opportunity has gone." God's calling us to live ready. God's calling us to live ready. And living ready is not easy. It's easy to be complacent. It's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to be okay with where we are and get comfortable. And sometimes it's hard for you to move out of your comfort zone. Anyway, being ready requires us to get out of our comfort zone. Because when God brings an opportunity, when God is ready to bring an outpouring, we've got to be ready to move. We've got to be willing to move. And we've got to get out of our comfort zone and get ready to go. Smith Wigglesworth, I talked about him a little bit a few weeks ago. But, you know, if you remember, you know, he couldn't speak. He was tongue-tied. He had to have his wife preach for him until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then God did something amazing in his life. He anointed him with a gift to preach the word and began to do miracles. And some of the things he did, and if you know anything about Smith Wigglesworth, he was known for when he would pray for people sometimes, he would hit them, you know, where, you know, like if they had a growth or something like that, he would hit them. They said, and it was common. It became common. You know, if somebody came out with stomach issues, they said, "Watch out." He would punch them in the stomach and knock them back sometimes. You know, he would slap people and stuff like that. And people criticized that and said, "You know, man, this is crazy what you're doing. This is weird." He said, "I'm not hitting them. I'm hitting the devil." You know, but he was doing things that most of us would feel uncomfortable with or uncomfortable doing. As a matter of fact, right now I want to stop and have an altar call for those that are hurting and sick. Y'all just come on up here. We're going to lay it out. He took the meaning of laying on of hands to a whole new level. You know? And I don't know, man, God better really speak to me if he ever wants me to do something like that to somebody. So just know, if I ever punch you, it was a divine word from God to lay into you. So anyway, but talk about moving out of your comfort zone. But and how many of you these days, and I've before, man, just thought about, what if God calls you to raise somebody from the dead? You know, how uncomfortable would that be, you know, to go up and do that? But Smith Wigglesworth, man, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he saw over 20 people raised from the dead in his ministry. 20 people raised from the dead. There is no limit to what God can do. Amen? We're talking about a God that we serve is the God that created heaven and earth. He created all things by his spoken word. God can do anything. Creative miracles. Deliverances. People that you think are bound and will never get free, God can free them. Your children, your loved ones, the people that you're praying for, that you're believing to come in the kingdom, God can do it. God, nothing is impossible for God. And God wants us to know that. And God wants us to get out of our comfort zone, because when he calls on you, when he lays something on your heart, he wants you to be ready to move. He don't want you to be too uncomfortable to move out into it. He wants you out of your comfort zone. He wants you to be ready to move, because when we get out of our comfort zone and we say, God, I'm ready, and when he says go, we go, then things will begin to happen. Things will begin to take place. God will begin to do great miracles through our life. There was a guy at the men's conference, and man, I'll tell you what, this... And God's just been working on me. I'm right there with you guys. God's been working on me for weeks now, you know, to step out, to get out of my comfort zone, to step out, to not be bound by any fear of failure or fear of man or anything else, but to get out of my comfort zone. And when God says move, move. But there was a Pastor Choco was his nickname. Some of you may have heard of him. Wilfred De Jesus is his name. He's a pastor in Chicago. He took over the church from his father-in-law when the church had 68 people. Now they have over 17,000 people in 6 campuses. But he didn't want to be a pastor. He had taken his test to be a state trooper in Illinois. And when they asked him about it, he said, no, thank you. His father-in-law said, I want you to take the church. He said, no, thanks, Dad. He said, I'm going to be a state trooper. And, because that wasn't his calling. That wasn't his vision for his life. He was uncomfortable. That was something that was way off limits for him. So he made a deal. He said, if you take a vote and the vote is unanimous, all 68 people vote yes, he said, then I'll know it's God and I'll take the church. And so they went to church the night they had the vote. And he said his father-in-law was counting the votes, you know, one at a time, laying them all aside. And he got done. He looked at him. He said, congratulations, you're the pastor. He said, I looked at my wife and said, you voted for me? He said, I thought, man, my wife was my one in the pocket. That was my guarantee that I wouldn't have to say yes. But even she voted for him. And so he stepped out of his comfort zone. He took that church. And man, what God has done through that church. Now, some of you may have heard of him, may know him. They rescue women out of prostitution, out of the sex trade, human trafficking. And they've ministered to over 600, almost 700 women. They have a farm that they put women on. But he made a statement. Man, it was a powerful testimony. If you know, I'd love to show you guys that sometimes. A powerful testimony. But he made a statement when he ministered there that really stuck with me. He made a statement that I think goes right along with this point. He said this, you know, because sometimes being ready requires sacrifice. You know that. Being ready requires sacrifice. But this whole point is, let's not substitute complacency for sacrifice. God wants people that are willing to sacrifice whatever it takes for the cause of the kingdom. In Romans, well, let me tell you what he said. He said that when God began to lay stuff on his heart, especially when it's talking about the ministry to rescue those women out of that human trafficking, he said God put it on his heart. God burdened him with it. He just could not sleep at night. He got up the next morning. He just felt like God told him to do something. And he made this statement. He said, many times we don't understand how God's going to do it. God may be asking you to do something. You don't understand how he's going to do it. You don't understand how you could ever be the one to do it. Moses had that same problem. You know, when God called Moses to deliver children, he said, God, I can't speak. And then the Bible says God almost killed him for that. We don't want to be that way. But anyway, Moses was the same way. He said, God, is it me? Me? You chosen me? Man, I'm not comfortable with that. I can't do that. But maybe you've been in that same place. But here's what he said. He said, sometimes you may not understand how. Why? Why are you chosen me? How it's going to happen? How it's going to turn out? But he said this statement, and it stuck with me. He said, there's time to understand later. He said, but obedience can't wait. There's time to understand what God's calling us to, or how God's calling us to, or how it's all going to work out. But when God speaks, you can understand later, but obedience has to come now. When God says move, we have to be ready to move. Amen? We have to be ready. Whatever sacrifice it takes. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the miracles of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. A living sacrifice. I want to be able to say about my life that I'm a living sacrifice, meaning that I'm willing to lay down whatever reservations I have. When God says do something, I do it. Complacency. There's no room for complacency in the kingdom of God. We've got to get out of our comfort zone. In fact, when I was praying about just overall, you know, the message, God, what do you want to speak tonight? God, what is your word to us tonight? And I felt like God gave a real comforting word. He said, tonight I want to put thorns in people's seats. Tonight I want to make your seat in your comfortable place prickly. I want to get you up. I want to get you moving. And God's been speaking this for several weeks to our church, if you go back and think about it. You know, when I started thinking about the messages that have been preached recently and stuff, you know, it's God's got us in a season where he's getting us ready. The first thing you got to do ready is get up, you know. You just got to be ready. But God is getting us ready, and I don't think he's getting us ready for something that's not going to happen. I think he's getting us ready for an outpouring of his Holy Spirit. I believe he's getting us ready to go to the other side. I believe he's getting us ready to become vessels that he can fill and overflow and pour out on this city. Pour out on your family. Pour out on those that you come in contact with. You let them come in contact with the living Spirit of God that is powerful enough to break down barriers, to break chains, to do miracles. God wants that in our life. God wants the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural power of God working in us and through us. Can you say amen? Amen. The next one, we'll kick off with this next time, is substituting. The church a lot of times has substituted confession for repentance. We'll do that one. We'll start off with that one next time, Lord willing. We're going to stop right there tonight. But, you know, I don't know how to end this service other than this. If you bear witness with this tonight, if you believe that God's calling you to move out of your comfort zone, and you may be like me, I know there's some things that God's put on our heart and we haven't figured out what it is yet. We know there's some things that God's called us to do. We know that God wants to do something significant in this church and in this city. We don't fully understand it yet, but I'm right here with you guys. We don't understand it, but I've decided that whatever it is, I'm going to begin to move. I'm going to begin to do. I'm going to begin to put action with my faith and see God do something bigger than I could ever do myself. Every one of you. The Bible says the gifts of the Holy Spirit, each person has gifts. Some more, some less. You know, but each person has at least one gift. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got at least one. But God wants to get us out of our comfort zone, get us ready, and begin praying about, God, what is it? What is it? What purpose have you called me to serve the body? Because the gifts, the Bible says, are for edification of the body, building up to the body. But we don't build up our body. Another thing Mark said this Sunday night. We're not build up our body just to be a good, strong church with good programs and good numbers. The body is built up so that the body can do its function. The same way with our natural body. You know, I'll admit that my natural body isn't capable of doing some of the things that some of you other guys can do. Chris is a runner. He conditions himself. He trains himself. His body, I promise you, can run faster and further than my body. You know? Unless it's downhill. Then I think gravity will help me overcome. But the body of Christ is built for a function, for a reason. We're to be a light. We're to go after the lost. We're to introduce people to Jesus Christ, the only one that can give them life, the only one that can give them hope, the only one that can give them eternity, that can give them eternal life. That's our function as a body. God wants to heal. God wants to do miracles. God wants to do a lot of things. He wants us to live a life that is an overcoming life. But at the very root of all that is so that we can be a testimony and a light. Our natural bodies are made with joints and muscles so that we can move and lift and do things. Even though sometimes we don't exercise those muscles and we don't use them for that purpose. But the more in shape your body is, the better you can accomplish the purpose and use that body for what God meant for, what it's designed for. Same way with the church. Same way with the church. The more the gifts of the Spirit are in operation in the church, and the stronger the body gets built up, the better we can fulfill God's purpose and God's call and God's design for the body. So all this, keep in mind, all this is for a purpose. But God wants His gifts working out. And God wants you working and moving and operating in the gift and the calling that He's put on you. And every one of you, the Bible says, each one, everyone has a gift, has a calling. Are you walking in that calling? Do you feel like you're doing everything that you're supposed to do to add to the body, to build up the body, to reach the lost, and to be a light to the world? I'm not. I haven't arrived. I was talking to Roger just earlier. We haven't arrived. Paul even said, I haven't arrived. But he said, I press on. I press forward. And that's what God, I believe God's word to us tonight, is that He wants us to press forward. He wants us to have a vision for what He wants us to do. He wants us to have a spiritual vision for what He wants to accomplish through us. And He wants us to begin to get ready. Get ready. Get out of our comfort zone. Begin to seek Him and hunger for Him and ask Him, God, what is it that You want me to do? Because every one of you have something. And so that's where we are tonight. God's saying, get out of your comfort zone. Begin to hunger for the things of God. Begin to hunger for a move of God. Begin to hunger for to have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, flowing through you. And that's where we're at. We got to be hungry, and we got to be ready. And so if you bear witness to that, and you just feel like God's telling you, if you agree and you feel like God's telling you, get ready, and He's wanting to move you out of some comfort zones in your life, just stand right where you're at. Just stand right there at your seat. And I'm just going to pray, closing prayer. And tonight, man, I don't understand where He's taking us. I don't know how He's going to get us there. But I want to be ready. I want to be ready because I don't want to miss out on the opportunity. Father God, I thank You tonight for Your word. Lord, I just pray, Father God, that You would cause Your word, God, to settle in our hearts tonight. And Lord, where I've failed to convey the message properly, I just trust that the Holy Spirit will take it from there and give revelation, God, to every person, God, for their own heart, their own situation, God. I pray that You would enlighten this word, that You would enlighten this message in our hearts today, God, to help us to see, God, the blessings and the life and the things that You have for us, God, and to hunger after those, God. We choose, God, to live for You, God, to seek You, God, and to hunger after You, God. And I pray tonight, God, that You would cause there to be an unsettling in our spirits, God, that You would cause there to be a prying, God, a pushing, God, and a nudging, God, to get out of where we're comfortable, God, and to go where you're calling us, God. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will begin to reveal your plans for us and your plans for this church, God, because I know what you've called us to, God, is bigger than what we can dream up. It's bigger than what we can plan or draw out, God. It's bigger than what we can do in ourselves. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, I believe that we're going to do great things. Lord, I believe that we're going to reach many. God, that hearts are going to be brought to you. God, that lives will be saved, God. That miracles will happen. All because we responded to your Holy Spirit. All because, Lord God, we allowed and invited in your Holy Spirit, God, to work in us and work through us. In Jesus' name I declare tonight, God, that we are a church and that we are a people that's moving forward and that we're going to the other side and we're going to impact much. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.